This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Oh, good afternoon, Warren.
I was a little bit early with your fly like a bird thing then.
Well, you can never get too much Nelly, can you?
Definitely not. Now, Sean, there is a brutal reality sort of, it's not a TV show, but there's a brutal reality game that is going on at the moment. I'm quite excited about it, but I'm a bit concerned that it's a little bit cruel and brutal for my liking. What is it?
Yes, it's the Bird of the Year poll that BirdLife Australia is running with Guardian Australia. And, you know, this country's been through enough divisive polls in the last few years. You know, we've had marriage equality, we've got The Voice, and now the, you know, vote for your favourite bird. It's tearing us apart, I tell you. It's, you know, people are very passionate about which bird they like.
So how does it work?
Yeah, it's up on the Guardian website and anyone can vote on any day. And we selected 50 birds. We couldn't have the whole list of 938 on there. So we picked 50 birds that we thought most Australians would know. And we actually sneakily at BirdLife Australia threw in a few threatened species that we're working on, because we think people should know about them. And then every day since last Monday, people could vote for their favourite bird in the poll. And this is where it gets brutal, kind of like Bird Survivor or Bird Love Island or something. I don't know. They have the lowest five tallies of birds with the lowest five tallies get voted off the island.
They get booted out.
And they get booted out. So the next day after voting for 50, you could then vote for 45. The day after that for 40. Today we're getting near the pointy end of the competition and it's, there's only 15 birds left. And tomorrow it's basically the last day where everybody votes for their favourite bird, the top 10.
We're down to the pointy end. Now, Sean, I want to know where one of my favourite birds is at the moment. And, I'm going to say I met these birds at the local park during COVID-19 lockdowns, and I would take my dog there every single day. And there's a hollow in one of the big old eucalyptus trees. It's one of those sort of, you know, I don't know what sort of eucalyptus tree it is, but it's absolutely massive. And some sulphur-crested cockatoos have been nesting in this tree every single year. And I reckon they know me. I'm not joking, because whenever I walk to this park, I get that screech and they pop their head out and they look, and it's almost like they go, oh, he's okay. We don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
And they go back in. How have those birds, how have they gone in the brutal reality show that we're watching?
Yeah, well, I have to say this has not been the year of the sulphur-crested cockatoo. They normally do really well. The first year they made the top 10 and most years they're in the top 20. This year they got voted out somewhere in the 30s. I was staggered. It's I don't know what they've done to annoy people, but basically, yeah, the cockies have really plummeted this year. Some of the other, we've still got the Gang Gang cockatoo in the top 15, and we lost the Galah yesterday. It went out in the 15 to 20 mark. So, and the last time we did this in 2021, the Galah was actually fourth most popular bird across Australia. So, yeah, I don't know what those big cockatoos have been doing to the Australian people, but they're not flavour of the month this year, that's for sure.
Do you have any information on how people are making their decision? Are they just logging in, they see a nice pretty bird and they think, oh, I like the look of that one, or is it, you know, I've seen this one in my backyard, in my area, I'm going to vote for that one. Is there thought behind it, or are people just brutal and going, you know what, get rid of them?
Yeah, it's an interesting mix of what's left, and I think it's birds that people are familiar with. And some people have been voting for the same bird every day. And then there are others who have been voting strategically. Obviously, you know, kind of, it is a bit like Survivor, really. They're kind of working out who the threats are and trying to bolster the vote of their, maybe not their favourite bird, but a bird they would rather see get through the next round. So people have been jumping around all the time. It's interesting, the birds that are getting the most votes, they seem to move around a bit every day. But this year so far, I think in all but one of the days, the highest voting bird has been, well, the votes for the highest bird has been for the tawny frogmouth.
Oh.
But occasionally the peregrine falcon has got heaps of votes on particular days. Today, I'm just having a look on the Guardian website at the moment. You can, tomorrow you can't track what the votes are doing, so it's a bit more mysterious, but today you can, and the peregrine's doing quite well, but it's really nowhere. It's only got about half the votes of the leading bird today, which is the, tawny frogmouth. And then second is one of those sneaky ones that BirdLife Australia threw in, the swift parrot, which is a stunningly beautiful bird. But we put it in because it's critically endangered, and a new report from ANU has just come out assessing the population and saying that they're declining so rapidly because of native forest logging, particularly in Tasmania, where they breed, but also in New South Wales, that they, the trajectory towards extinction means in 10 years' time there may be hardly any, if any, left in the wild at all.
What do we need to do?
They could be extinct. Well, really, we need to have strong nature laws that allow the federal government to come in and say, okay, Tasmania, just forget what you're doing here. You're continuing to log swift parrot habitat, nesting habitat. Nesting trees each year are still being destroyed, even though the Tasmanian government has signed up to protect this bird, and they're just doing such a shoddy job of it that the national nature laws that we have should mean that the federal government can intervene. But they're so weak and full of loopholes that the regional forest agreements that have been signed between the Commonwealth and the states are given precedent over the threatened species laws, and so that they're basically toothless and they don't have any effect. And there's a big review happening at the moment under Tanya Plibersek. The Environment Minister has pledged to review the National Nature Laws, which are the EPBC Act, it's called, the Environment Protection, Biodiversity and Conservation Act. It's about 20 years old and it's kind of all right, but pretty toothless, and hasn't been working, hasn't been applied properly, and we keep seeing endangered species added to the threat, added to that list. So something's got to change, and they're reviewing it, but we need to make sure that the review actually provides something that's stronger and going to do something like it, you know, like it says on the lid, that it actually says, you know, a Threatened Species Act that protects threatened species doesn't just allow us to watch them go extinct. So
it's a swift parrot,
really heartening.
Is it only in Tasmania? Is it also in Victoria?
It's in Victoria during winter. They only breed in Tasmania and then they migrate across. They're tiny birds. They're not much bigger than a budgie, really. And they fly across Bass Strait and they come here in autumn and follow the flowering of the eucalypt blossom in the woodlands. Often in the sort of north of northern Victoria in the box ironbark forests, but especially in drought years, they'll hit the coast, particularly along New South Wales, where they'll feed in the spotted gum forests and other forests that are flowering in winter. And while we're phasing out native logging in Victoria by the end of the year, supposedly, in New South Wales, they're still allowing it to go ahead. And last year I visited a logging coop that had 1,200 swift parrots, 1 year, about in 2000, and I think it was about 2009. And then it was logged the next year and it hasn't had any swift parrots left, return. And then the bushfires went through there. And so now just the lack of habitat, the lack of trees for them to feed on and nest in Tasmania means that, the population's optimistically at about 700 birds, but it's far more likely to be a lot less than that. And this population study showing they're just disappearing each year so quickly that, yeah, in 10 years' time, we won't be able to vote for it in the Bird of the Year because they won't exist. So it's really good to see it getting a run in coming neck and neck with the tawny frogmouth, which is a great bird that we would love to see win as well. But, yeah, it's great that it's this poll, a bit of fun, is actually sort of shining a spotlight on a pretty dire situation.
And raising some awareness. I'm going to vote for the swift parrot today. We've got a tawny frog mouth here at Joy that looks in the window. I think I might have shown you a photo about it. But just on the peregrine falcon that you mentioned earlier, are they the ones that are nesting in Collins Street?
Yes, yeah, they've gathered quite a fan club right around Australia. So it's not just votes coming from Melbourne. But I think it's influenced by those Melbourne birds because they're on the webcam and people just tune in all around the world watching the soap opera that is the raising of these chicks. And they're doing really well this year. Yeah, been sort of today they're down a bit. I'm just looking. I think they're also running behind the Kookaburra, it seems. So they're in fourth place, which is about the lowest they've been in any of the votes. And they're also behind the Willy Wagtail, which is storming through. So, it's going to be very interesting. All those birds will make the top 10 for tomorrow. So it'll be fascinating to see who votes for what.
So today is really the last chance to get on and get a bird into the top 10. Sean, we're all going to do it. We're busting to do it. How do we go and vote for the swift parrot and get it to number one?
If you just go to the Guardian Australia website and just scroll down until you see a bird story or a bird of the year link. In fact, yeah, they've actually got a whole section up. It's just fantastic, the bird content that they've been putting up. So many really lovely stories about people's relationships with particular species and why they're voting for them. It's a beautiful read. So it's a fabulous time of year. This, of course, is leading into the Aussie Bird Count, which is happening in 2 weeks. It's a great time of year for birds, but it's an even better time of year for bird watchers and bird lovers.
Fantastic. John, when do we find out the winner?
Winners announced around midday on Friday.
Friday. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sean. Great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again in a month's time. That is Sean Dooley, the National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.